irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Question Reality, the absolute best entertainment advice internet radio show in the business. My name is Priscilla Leona. I'm the producer and host, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. This show is definitely for you if you are considering a career in show business or if you're questioning your career reality. For 8 years, our guests have provided tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business positions. Our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, dancers, models, musicians, comedians. Oh, the list just goes on and on and on. If they're working in show business, we are going to have them on the show. Now, what's important to note is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we'll definitely have someone on the show that you can personally relate to, and they're able to answer your show business career questions. Now, if you missed any of our shows in the past, if you missed any of our shows in any of the past 8 years and you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, you want to go to our archive page, which is on the latalkradio.com website. And you just search for our show title, Question Reality. We're on channel one. Or you can search by my name, Priscilla Leona. And there you go. We have the name of the guest and what their specific career is. All of our Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com. And, of course, they're all under the podcast section. So please make sure you also get your – we have a newly designed free app, the LA Talk Radio app, on the homepage of the LA Talk Radio website. So please go there. It's located towards the bottom. And get that app so you can listen to all of our shows. Finally, very, very exciting news. If you want to be a guest on our radio show or refer someone who's working professionally in the entertainment industry, we are currently booking for 2017. As you know, our shows are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So please go to our official website right now and submit either yourself to promote your projects or recommend someone else and we'll take a look. The website is questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com, which is different from latalkradio.com. That is our, our official website. Now, on for the exciting stuff. Oh my gosh, I am so, so happy that we finally are going to have this gorgeous, beautiful, multi-talented man on the show today. His name is Lorenz Chuno, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Lorenz Chuno. Again, he's a multi-talented vocalist, pianist, percussionist, and dancer from Nigeria. And he was recommended by Scott Thompson of Scott Thompson PR. So you might want to check him out, scottthompsonpr.com. And we are going to be playing his song from his latest album. The song is entitled Wait. Again, it's from the album, and I believe it's pronounced Naija or Naya, Rhythm Affair, New York City. When the words get a little foreign, you know, I just rip them apart, tear them up. We'll have him pronounce it in a minute. But again, around 5:30, we'll be playing that. Let's go to his website right now, LorenzChuno.com. That's L-O-R-E-N-S, Chuno, C-H-U-N-O.com. He's also on Twitter at Lorenz Chuno, Facebook, and Reverb Nation. And, oh, I have we have never had a musician on our show that played WEF's African Jazz Fusion. So we're so excited to provide our audience with what could be the introduction of some really cool new musical instruments, styles, and some musical history of Nigerian music. Just because you're a musician doesn't mean you know every single instrument in the world. You'd be surprised at how many musicians I run into. They've never heard of some of these instruments from foreign countries. It's amazing. So you'll learn something. Oh my gosh, something's playing in the background. Oh, don't mess up my vibe, whoever's playing something in the background. Oh, okay. So his latest album, Naya Rhythm Affair NYC, we're going to hear again the song around 5:30. So stay tuned for that. So without further ado, let's welcome him to the show. Welcome, Lorenz.
Hello.
Where are you? Are you somewhere outside where there's traffic all over the place? I hear horns beeping.
It's New York City. I live in a very busy area in the New York City. I'm very sorry.
Can you hear me
right now? Is it better now?
I can, but with all that background noise, I thought maybe you've been evicted. You're hanging out at a Starbucks because you got evicted from your apartment. You're hanging out at the coffee shop thing. Oh my gosh.
No.
So welcome to the show. Now, Lorenz, audiences have praised you for your live performances as being energy filled, captivating, educative. And we want to ask you, how do you bring this energy? Why do they say you're captivating? And most importantly, I've never heard a musician described as educative. Why do they say that about you and your music?
Well, yeah, the educative part, it's because of the kind of issues that I tackle in my lyrics to start with. Like if you listen to the album, it's Niger Rhythm Affair, but you are correct. It's either Niger, and if you're thinking of Spanish, you could say Naya, but it's Niger because I'm from Nigeria. We Nigerians, we call the country Niger. So it's Niger Rhythm Affair.
Okay, see, yeah. Learning something already. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah. So if you listen to the album, like the song Wait, it's a song that tackles police brutality because of the things going on in America. So I took the opportunity to talk about it in that song. And then some other songs in the album, like there's a song called Mr. Sadiq. It's a song that tackles how Westerners treat Africans when they come to Africa. They have the best intentions, but they kind of misunderstand us a little bit. So I tackle that. And then it's still educative because of the way I try to fuse Western influences to my Nigerian background, and I'm jazz trained. So if you come to any of our shows, me and my musicians, we serve you all this, and we're educating you in the process, letting you listen to a different kind of jazz, and it's energy filled because I dance, I try to get the.
You dance. Oh my God. Hold on, people. Hold on a minute, because now audience have praised your live performance as energy filled. Okay. I watched your YouTube video from the song Reflection, and I believe that's off your latest album, The Naya Rhythm Affair. And ladies, ladies, let me tell you, that video is super sexy. Lorenzo, he is rocking it shirtless, and he's got this Adonis physique. And I said, sign me up to watch all your music videos. You've got some Chippendale moves happening in this video, ladies. Now, I suggest all of you ladies pull up his YouTube channel either right now or maybe later tonight with a bottle of wine and a jar of boy butter. I'm just going to put it out there.
You are so kind, Priscilla.
What is going on with that video? How could you? That should be rated triple X.
Well, I don't know. That's how we perform in Nigeria. That's how I'm just being natural and honest. That's how we perform. So I just serve it out there, and the audience, they're allowed to.
Oh, it's wonderful.
However they want to.
Well, you know what, Lorenz? First of all, I want to know, did you produce and direct that video? Because whoever did it is fantastic. It's a really great music video because it's usually so expensive to get a high production quality music video done properly. And this one is really done well. So can you talk about this video and the whole process that it takes for us? Musician to get a music video done like that these days? How do you do it?
Okay, yeah. Well, that video, I directed it myself, but I had a friend who produced it. His name is Mike Sullivan. I think when it comes to music video, it's good if you're a beginning artist, you should be, your goal should be to try and to make the best video you can make for little to no money, you know? So if you start with thinking of spending a lot of money, you might end up spending that money and not getting the best video. So I think look around your surroundings and think of a concept that you want to portray in the video. When you think of the concept, think of what you need to produce the video. Do you need like a restaurant? Do you need a bedroom? Do you need a walkway? Do you need to be on the road? Do you need to get a shot from the sky and so forth? Then write all of them down and then start thinking of the cheapest way of getting those things that you need. Cheapest way, think of the cheapest restaurant. There's probably somebody out there who wants his restaurant or her restaurant to be in a music video. You just have to look, give it time and look for it. If you want a bedroom, a nice bedroom, you could probably configure your bedroom to look nice. You could probably borrow things or buy things from a cheap store to make it look nicer. If you want a shot from the sky, you could look for a skyscraper and talk to the people who own it and keep talking to them until one of them will be like, yeah, I want to support your art. So it's good to start to think of the cheapest way. Think of the best music video you want to make, and then think of the cheapest way to make it. So that's my approach.
I love that. I love that tip you just gave about the getting the shot from above. I never would have thought about that. Going on a one of those cranes, you know, one of those cranes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, because you can also get a shot of the guy's business on the crane. So it's a product advertising. That's a great tip. Now you have played a ton of concerts and you shared stages with international acts like Chicago Afrobeat Project, Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars, and you worked with some legendary jazz musicians, drummers like Poogie Bell, Roger Humphreys, and pianists like Howie Alexander and Mark Carey. You also garnered international recognition, including the appearance on the Nigerian Television Authority Celebrity Corner and the African Independent Television Artist Notebook. So, for those of us who don't know the Nigerian Television Authority Celebrity Corner, is that sort of like our country's American Idol show? Tell us about that.
Not quite. It's more like our country's Access Hollywood. It's more like the U.S. Access Hollywood. Yeah.
That's pretty big, though.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I was very happy they were willing to feature me because I was around and I spoke to them and I didn't get any response. Then I reached out again and then they looked at my video, the video you're talking about, the reflection video, and they liked it. They're like, yeah, we want to talk more about you. And then they saw that I have an interesting background, that I lived in the U.S. and some other things I've done. They decided, that would be a good fit. And I was very, very grateful about it. Yeah. And the same story for the AIT, the African International Television. Yeah.
And my gosh, you know, these people that you played with, these are legendary jazz musicians. So obviously for those of you who have not heard Lorenz Chuno yet, when you hear him, you'll obviously be able to tell he's talented. But to play with Poogie Bell, Roger Humphreys, you know, Howie Alexander, they must hold you in high acclaim. How did you meet these guys? Was it just at jam sessions or did they refer you? How did you?
I did my undergraduate in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So what happened is that while I was in school, I developed a good relationship with a lot of the musicians in the Pittsburgh area. And Roger Humphreys is a legendary drummer. Puji Bell has worked with everybody, including Erykah Badu, including Chaka Khan. So, but they come out to that, to those jam sessions, and they would see me sing, see me play some piano. I'm not the greatest pianist, but they'll see me play, and they see what I'm bringing. They see that what I'm bringing is kind of unique. It's kind of different from what the regular. I don't want to downplay what other people have, but they see that it's kind of new. It's kind of unique, and they took interest in me. And when I was recording the album before this one, I spoke to Puji Bell, and I was like, will you be willing to play drums in my CD? Yeah, he's like, yeah. He came out and he played 5 songs, and I was very grateful about it. Roger Humphreys, he worked at the University of Pittsburgh, so I would go there and watch him teach drum class and stuff like that, you know. And I spoke to him about coming to jam with him, and he agreed with that, and we performed one day at an event in Pittsburgh over there. Yeah, Matt Carey, I met him in New York when I moved to New York about 3 years ago. Yeah,
you know, I love that you're telling the story about playing with these people, because how you met them and how you just felt confident enough to just say, hey, will you play on my album? A lot of musicians are actually too intimidated to ask famous celebrities to do that, thinking, oh, they'd never do it. But why don't you tell us? It doesn't hurt to try. I mean, at least you
it
can
doesn't.
Ask like you did,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to. Yeah, and it depends on you. But you have to come off. I don't know how to put it. You don't want them to think that you're trying to use them as a stepping stone, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you want to develop an authentic relationship with them. You want them to see you do something, to see you try, to see your work, that you have a body of work, and to see that your art is honest, you know, that you're not trying just to get famous, you know, your
Absolutely.
Art is honest.
Absolutely. Well, you should genuinely have an interest in their particular music. You should never disingenuous.
Yeah.
I mean, people can smell desperation a mile away, especially sensitive musicians.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Don't try to pull
and
that off. Don't push yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes they might say no, but that no might be, it might just be not this time. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a no. You know, so like there's this guy, his name is Lionel Lueke. He's a jazz guitarist. He's like, I would say if you count the three well acclaimed jazz guitarists in the US today, he's one of them, and he's African. He's from Benin Republic. So when I was
What is his name again? I want to make sure we get his name. What is his name?
His name, Lionel Lueke, L-I-O. N-E-L, then Lueke, L-O-U-E-K-E, Lionel Lueke.
Got it. I'm going to look him up. So continue.
So I spoke to him about playing it on the album, and I sent some of the songs to him, and he listened to the songs, and he told me, hey, I don't connect with these songs. And I was kind of offended the first time. He's like I know who is gonna do a really good job, you know. And he's referred me to somebody who ended up being like the perfect guitarist for the song.
Oh, isn't
and,
that
you
great?
Know, yeah.
I love that he was honest. I respect
him. Yeah, he was very honest. He's
honest.
Like, I don't connect to the song. Until today, he still keeps in touch with me. I finished recording the album. I sent it to him. I was really happy. And, you know, I thanked him when he said, I don't connect to it. I thanked him, but he referred me to somebody. And you don't just have to work with that person, but it's good to be known by the person at least, you know. Absolutely. Maybe it's just not that time, maybe it's
exactly.
another time. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Lorenz, when and what was your inspiration to start playing music? When did you know I'm musical, I have to play music?
Okay. My story is kind of a little windy, so I'm gonna try my best. I I played music a little bit when I was younger. I played a little bit of the piano, but wasn't anything serious. But I grew up in Nigeria, and if you come from a family where the parents are a little enlightened, they want you to be college educated, and they actually want you to do something in the sciences. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Nigeria is not as advanced as the U.S. There's not a lot to do. Your main ticket to being successful is studying, getting a degree in maybe law, engineering, and in medicine. That's where you're able to get a job, you know. So when I was younger, I played a little bit of the piano, and then my parents actually discouraged me. They wanted me to focus on the sciences and keep going in the sciences, which I'm grateful I did, because I went to a high school in Nigeria, did really well, came to the U.S., and I studied mathematics in school, mathematics and computer science in undergraduate. But while I was an undergraduate, I started rediscovering music again, and I started seeing that this is something I really want to do. So I started taking more jazz piano classes, jazz vocal classes. I wasn't in my school, you couldn't be a music minor, but I tried having a minor in music, and I wasn't able to. So I just took classes by myself, went to jam sessions, learned jazz, started learning American jazz, all the American songbooks and how to play them. So by the time I graduated, I wanted to move to New York and just do music, but still I was kind of afraid because <Right. laughs> I wasn't really sure how I was going to survive. And I was still on a student visa then. So I went back to school. I went to grad school for math, and I got my degrees. In a graduate degree in mathematics. But while I was in school, I was still doing music. I released an album while I was in school, while I was in graduate school. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? I love that, because you did the right thing. You've got your backup mm-hmm. career, because with you having that degree, I mean, hopefully mm-hmm. you're going to become an extremely successful celebrity musician. But if mm-hmm. for some reason it doesn't work out, you still have a second career. You can teach.
Yes, yeah.
You've got so many academic skills, mm-hmm. and that, yeah. I feel, is always the way you should do it. I mean, a lot of artists just don't do it that way, but I feel that's mm-hmm. the right way. I really do.
It could
do.
Be tough, especially in today's news, in today's environment, whereby we don't have recording labels anymore. You know, they don't really exist. The money that recording labels used to have, they don't have it anymore. So everybody is independent, you know. You have to start independent. And the best way to do is to equip yourself in such a way that you can do the kind of art you want to do. So I felt like having my graduate degree in mathematics, right now I teach in a college, but that's another story. I teach math in a university in New York.
See, that is so, you are so brilliant, because you've got a day job. You've got money to constantly fund.
Exactly.
Fund your musical projects until it takes off, and you don't have to, you know, bank, borrow, and steal for your music.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, it's the smart way to go. It's the smart way to go.
It's the tough way, too. It's very tough, but I'm happy I did it, because that way I'm able to do the kind of music I want to do, that I connect with. I can spend money on the kind of music I connect with. I'm not trying to do the things that we sell. You know, so I the last album I just did, it cost me tens of thousands of dollars, but I'm able to do it because I get tax refund once I send all my tax refund for three years, and I used it to record the album. You know, so
I do the same thing. My tax refund goes to producing some of my short films. Absolutely.
Wow, you see, that's great.
Smart.
So I moved to, once I finished my graduate degree in math, I moved to New York. I luckily got a job in New York. I'm like, wow, this is perfect. New York is where music is, and I got a job. So I teach, and then during the summer, I work on my music. During the weekend, I work on my music. I have a 9-to-5 where I go, I teach, and I, And the good thing about having a day job as an artist that I'm beginning to discover is that your art becomes richer because you have a lot of things to feed off of. You have authentic experience to write about, you know. Like if you're, if you're a singer who connects, maybe who works in a bank or something, you meet people that tell you stories, or you meet people who sometimes you meet shady people who know that you, who you know that this money is not theirs. You can write a song about that, you know, and all that. Yeah, if you work in a restaurant, you can, you write, it feeds your art. That's what I discovered, that I meet authentic people who inform my art, and it's been a blessing, and I'm so happy about it.
Oh my gosh, that is so intelligent to say. You're right, because if you're a full-time musician and that's all you do and you hang out with nothing but musicians all day, every day, I mean, there's a point where you just get burnt out. I've seen it. I've seen it. And it's very sad to me. I have many friends who are musicians, and they started out loving being drummers and pianists, but then they tell me they have to get up very early and they have to pound the pavement because their sole income comes from their next gig. And it's to the point where they're playing gigs for $50 or sometimes so sad that it just for food. And you don't want your life, you don't want to be 60 years old doing that. And I see that a lot. I see it because they didn't get an education. So I'm so glad. And I love how you say you get inspiration from people you work with, because there is a plethora, a ton of stories out there. If you're working a day job, run into so many people with so many lives that influence yours, and you have an endless supply of stories to write about. So I'm so glad that you put that out there. Now, some of your, some of the descriptions of your music are African, Afrobeat, world music, jazz. And this word I do not know, and I'm so excited that you're going to explain what this is. Fela Kuti. I have never heard of Fela Kuti.
Fela Kuti.
And can you tell us about that?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to make fun of you a little bit. For not knowing who Fela Kuti is. Fela Kuti, he's a famous African musician, Nigerian musician. He's very famous for his music. His music is like funk. It's like African funk, you know. But he's very brilliant. His lyrics tackles very, very political issues, and he actually went to school in England, and then came back to Nigeria, did music a little bit, came to the US, and did music before going back to Nigeria. So his band, he has this huge band, like 20 people. So he travels around the whole world with them, and He never cared about money. He didn't care about money until he became famous and started making money from it. But he came from a little well-to-do family. But the main thing is that his attitude towards music is very genuine, very honest, and he uses his music as a weapon. And that's why he's very, very influential. He released about, I don't know, close to 70 albums, you know. And then what happened is that every artist, no matter how positive you are, you have your own downside. He has weird relationship with women. He believed in polygamy and stuff like that. And he smoked, and he smoked a lot of weed. But do you know what?
Honest, Lorenz, I don't see anything wrong with a little polygamy.
if everybody gives consent. So, but his life was a Broadway show. You know, it's still, and I think it's still running till today. It premiered in 2010. I actually came to see it, and it was, the dancing was fantastic. So look it up, Fela. The name of the Broadway show is Fela, F-E-L-A, exclamation mark, F-E-L-A, exclamation mark. Just type Fela Broadway. You will see his life on the Broadway show, and he influenced a lot of Nigerian musicians, including myself.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. See, I told you people that we were going to learn some new stuff today. I had never heard of this gentleman, and now I'm going to Google him, look him up. It's going to be like an hour of that. So there you go, people. We learned something new. Now, your latest album consists of 10 original songs, and I understand that they're all composed, written, and arranged, and produced by you, which is amazing.
Yes.
But we can do that because we have a day job. So, yay, two thumbs up. Now, lyrically, the songs, as you said, they directly take on issues that are not necessarily related to one another, but I guess they come together to form a cohesive body of work. So tell us about, because we're about to hear your song, Wait. We're about to play that one. So, for example, Wait, you said that Wait directly and fearlessly tackles the issues of police brutality and the deep-seated racism in America. So can you briefly elaborate on your feelings about that? And what do you think society can do to make a change?
Okay. Well, I wrote that song at the ending of 2014, when the police brutality, especially in specific police brutality against black people, black men, was at its peak. That's when it started. That's when the whole Black Lives Matter movement started. And as a black person living in America, I was affected. I mean, it's not surprisingly, I was really, really affected by it. I come from a country where the police are corrupt, but at the same time, the police, they hardly killed anybody in Nigeria. But here, the police are not necessarily corrupt. You can't bribe them. But at the same time, they have a different kind of corruption in that they kill people, you know. So I started pondering on it, and the movement was going on, and the rallies would be organized, and I would be invited, but due to the fact that I go to work in the morning and come back in the evening sometimes, I wouldn't be able to attend it. So one of them I ended up attending, and I attended that rally, and after coming from the rally, I had to go to a music event. And as I was entering the event, I saw people who were complaining about the rally. You know, these are people, they happen not to be black, but they didn't have empathy about it, you know. And I kind of started noticing that these people, they might not necessarily be bad people. They're not bad. They're just normal people, but the thing, the problem is that they're not, it doesn't happen to them, you know.
Right.
So they can't relate, you know. And I see that that's probably what the police people are going through. They can't empathize, you know. They can't empathize, they can't put themselves in another person's shoes. That's why they're so quick to shoot. So I just wrote a song, and I wanted it to be direct. I didn't want it to be too poetic so that the meaning would be lost. So I said they're sworn to serve and protect, but yet they kill and molest, and human rights they neglect, and they make people go ahead and protest. So that's the first, like the first stanza, first verse of the song. And the weight is from my experience when I was in Pittsburgh. I remember one day being apprehended, stopped by the police. They were looking for somebody they thought was me. They held me, fetched me, made me lie down on the ground. They wouldn't even listen to me talk until one of them said, "If you talk again, I'm gonna shoot you or something." So I raised my hand up. I'm like, please wait, don't shoot me. You know,
that was were they white? Both white?
Yeah, they were white. They were all white. So that was when they heard my accent, and they were like, "Where are you from?" I told them. They said, "Where do you do?" I said, "I go to college." You know, and that was when they left me. funny enough that time, I wasn't offended that they stopped me. I was offended that they didn't apologize. I was offended, but that's where it comes from. Where the name, the title of the song comes from, and the story behind the song. Yeah.
Okay. Now, mm-hmm. just before we play the song, what do you feel that society can do to start making changes with the issues of this police brutality and the deep-seated racism in America?
I think, personally, this is just my opinion, and maybe I'm being a little pessimistic, but at the same time, I'm optimistic. But the pessimistic side is that the history of the country kind of comes with racism, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the only pessimistic side. And I feel like that what we have to do now is that we, as people living in today, especially people who are, because black people experience the original racism of this country. So especially people who are not black, let's just go ahead and say white people should kind of think of what the black person is feeling, you know, how you're approaching life. Because as a black person, even if you haven't experienced racism, if you're wise enough or if you're enlightened enough, you will know that it's kind of embedded in the fabric of the country. So if we are all aware that this racism didn't start today, and for that reason, it can be found in everywhere that we don't expect it to be, you know. Just like this country is a great country that was founded on liberty, you know, on individuality, on the American dream, you know. Those things can be found in the way people live their lives in this country. Those positive things, those concepts of liberty, concepts of freedom, concepts of achieving the unachievable, it's in everyday living in America. So if we can agree that those things, those positive things, is embedded in our lives in America, we should also know that racism is, you know. So if we agree that racism is embedded in our society, we can definitely start working as we've been doing, we can start consciously working to know that there's implicit bias, there's implicit racism, and if we are conscious, then we wouldn't perpetuate it. We would be able to curb it, you know. So I just feel like for instance, when it comes, sorry, I'm talking too much, but let me just make this point. Like when it comes to the police, for instance, I think a lot of training. Serious training, honest training, not just training on the books, you know. So
do they not have racial sensitivity issues in police training? They haven't gotten to that point yet, or
I don't think they take it as seriously as it should be, you know. For instance, if you go to certain black communities, or if you go to a lot of black communities, most of the cops are white, you know. Let's say you're in a community in LA, for instance, a black community in LA, maybe with crime and stuff, or in the inner city, let's say New York, someplace in New York, or even in Pittsburgh, they when they do the hiring, what they do is that they open it up to the whole country. They might get a white police officer from some rural place in Wisconsin or something, somebody who doesn't know a lot about the culture, you know, the urban culture, you know.
Inner city issues.
Yes, exactly. I was listening to NPR and this guy, he said that he was hired and they put him in a black community. He said that his first time they put him in the night shift, and when he saw people in the night, all he saw was criminals, you know. Like, you're looking at people, but you're assuming that they are all criminals. because mm-hmm. they're sitting outside. Maybe they sit outside their porch. Maybe they're drinking or something like that. You're just assuming these people are criminals because you don't know the inner city culture, you know. And he said that his eyes opened up when he now was put in a morning shift and he saw those same people that he saw in the night, those same people going to work, those same people putting their kids in the bus and stuff like that. So those are the kind of things that, those are the kind of trainings that that the police could do more about. They could go do more about telling people that, hey, not everybody you see is a criminal. Yeah, but at the same time, we understand that being a cop is tough. It's a tough job. It's you leave your house and you don't know if you will come back in the next day.
That's right.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. But at the same time, you can't take somebody's life because you're afraid. You know, you can't just take somebody's life as a precaution for your own life. You know, so that's tough. And then we have a country that we have gun violence. Gun violence also contributes to it. So it's like a web of problems that we can tackle them one at a time, I believe. I'm very optimistic.
Yeah. I think so. I think that in 100 mm-hmm. years, it'll look a lot different. My solution is to go with RoboCops. I think we should just go, because you know what? They don't have the prejudice. Yeah. They wouldn't have the prejudice. They wouldn't have all of those social issues in their mind. They just mm-hmm. follow mm-hmm. the law. And I think that multicultures, I mean, it's a long time, maybe in 100 years we'll have that. Mm-hmm. But I think that really is the best way to go, because if they just put mm-hmm. law and order, they have no reason to not follow law and order. They're not going to be scared. Yeah. You know, so I hope that it does eventually go that way, maybe in 100 or 1,000 years, because I think that we would
I think it's possible in 100 years. I hope so.
If you just program a robot, it has no feelings. It just mm-hmm. follows law and order. So I think even that people who were in a rioting situation, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be able to say that the robots are prejudiced because they have no feelings. So they couldn't even argue the point of them being prejudiced. So that's just something I thought of, and I thought, you know.
No, you're right. You're totally right. It's very possible.
So let's play your song. I'm excited. All right. So we're going to play your song, Wait, which we just told everyone it's about. It's off of your new album, the, mm-hmm. I hope I get it right, Lawrence Naya.
Naija
Rhythm Affair, New York City. Now, where can we buy this? After we hear this song, we're going to want to buy it. Where is it?
It's everywhere. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. Wherever you buy, wherever you and your mama buy music.
We can go to your website, right? LorenzChuno.com, and we can buy it from there. Wow.
Exactly. All right.
We're going to listen to it. I think it's about 4 minutes long. I think we'll be able to come back real quick, and then we can do a real quick edit because the show will be over. So without further ado, let's listen. Don't go away, Lorenz. We're coming back after the song. Don't go anywhere.
Okay. I'm here.
We're going to listen to Wait from Lorenz Chino.
It's 1 to 7, protect. Yet some killer molests. Human rights they neglect, making many cry and protest. Spectre of Jim Crow, ugly echo of the past. With my arms in the air, you are ready to shoot. You claim you fear for your life. Why should you fear? Take my life. Wait. Wait, don't shoot me. Wait. their grand jury facade. Salt to injury they add. Their massive failures to indict. More and more chaos inside.
Thank you so much. That was so impassioned. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna be singing that song the rest of the night. That is wonderful.
Oh wow.
I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. All right, so let's make sure everybody goes to your website, LorenzChuno.com, LorenzChuno.com. That is the song from the album. And we thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you want to say to your fans before you go?
Wow. Thank you so much, Priscilla. I want to thank you first for doing this. This has been so fun. Your audience must be like ecstatic every day. This is a treat. You know, you've given me something to listen to.
it couldn't be. It's only as good as my guest. So you made the show.
I had so much fun. Yeah. Oh.
You asked me how many minutes it was, and I said 50, and I said, but it seems like it goes in 10. How do you feel?
Yes,
Five minutes? 10 minutes?
I feel so good. It feels like 10 minutes, actually.
See, I knew it. Yeah. Well, you know what? Can you come back on the show next year, and we can promote your next album? You promise?
Awesome. I promise. Seriously.
All right. You feel free to contact me directly if you're not still with Scott. I imagine you will be, but just in case, okay. I'm sure he won't mind.
Great.
Thank you, LorenzChuno, for being on the show. Please go buy his album. It is called Nigel Rhythm Affair, New York City.
Thank you.
Please go and friend him on Facebook, follow him on Twitter, follow him on Instagram, and follow him everywhere. everywhere. And let me tell you, ladies, I'm going to just tell you one more time. Go to YouTube now and type his name, Lorenz Chuno, because I'm telling you, this video is so hot. This is a beautiful man. He is gorgeous, and he can dance. Oh. And it is great for some Sunday night action.
You are so kind. Thank you so much.
Lorenz Chuno. We'll see you next week. Oh, we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Yep.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.